Welcome back to another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. We are on part two of our mock draft for the month. And we teased it yesterday, but I really think these first couple picks in the back half of the second round are really awesome. But
back half of the first round.
Back half of the first round. That's what I meant. Yeah. Back half of the first round. And that is the voice of my co-host, Corey Kinnon. I obviously cannot do this alone because I've already screwed it up. We are going to go through picks 1 through 16 as a refresher. I will let Corey do that, and then we will get in on pick 17, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, so just a reminder, this is, we called it a vibe check mock, where it's like going with your gut, what you would do, blended with predictive. So it's not 100% predictive, not 100% what we would do, just kind of like feeling it out and kind of vibing with it. This is kind of what this mock is. Again, we have 2 more months, so we probably have 3 or 4 more mocks we're going to do anyway. So why not have some fun with some? But to start, number 1 with the Tennessee Titans, we went Abdul Carter, edge rusher from Penn State. Number 2, Shador Sanders, quarterback, Colorado, to the Browns. Giants took Travis Hunter. Number 3, Joshua Simmons, offensive tackle, Ohio State, to the Patriots. Number 4, defensive tackle Mason Graham to the Jaguars. Number 5, quarterback Cam Ward to the Raiders. Number 6, the New York Jets took the second offensive tackle off the board in Armon Membo. With the 7th pick, 8, Panthers, Samar Stewart, edge rusher from Texas A&M. 9, the New Orleans Saints add some wide receiver help with Teteroa McMillan out of Arizona. 10, the Chicago Bears took Will Campbell to protect Caleb Williams, the offensive lineman, we'll call him, out of LSU. 11, 49ers took the offensive lineman out of Texas, Calvin Banks. 12, the Cowboys took tight end Penn State, Tyler Warren. 13, the Miami Dolphins took safety Malachi Starks. 14, the Colts took Michigan cornerback Will Johnson. 15, the Falcons took James Pierce, edge rusher out of Tennessee. And 16, the Arizona Cardinals paired Luther Burden III with Marvin Harrison Jr. To round out that first half of the mock.
What was your favorite pick from the first half?
I really like the Armon Membo pick to the Jets because, like, if you're not going to get a quarterback, just upgrade the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a solid plan of attack. And with Sanders and Ward both off the board, I really like that pick. The Colts Will Johnson pick, man, is it's hard to beat that one, in my opinion.
It's really hard to beat that one because we do not have the same questions that it appears others have with Will Johnson's long speed. It's the questions aren't there for me personally.
No.
It reminds me a lot of Patrick Surtain, where he just literally never had to get on his horse, because he was never really out of position. So I'm all the way there with that Will Johnson pick. That's my personal favorite one. If I had to pick a second one, I would pick the Luther Burden slotting to Arizona, just because it is such a dichotomy for Marvin Harrison Jr. And so it would be a really nice compliment. Plus he'll be probably working from the slot quite a bit. So that helps out Trey McBride as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love it. So let's dive in here. You're up first here. Pick number 17, the Cincinnati Bengals. What are we doing?
The Bengals were tough. I would really like Kelvin Banks to fall to this pick. Unfortunately he did not. And so I went with a little bit of a vibe because I think that there's a pretty good chance this person is no longer on the board in real life by the time we get to 17. And depending on how you look at the player, he fits a very dire need or projected dire need for the Cincinnati Bengals. And that is Georgia linebacker / edge rusher Jalen Walker. One of my good buddies who is, in my opinion, one of the best edge rusher minds in the game, just got done with a little mini thread about Jalen Walker. Jalen Walker's get off, upfield burst, bend and closing speed give him sky high potential off the edge, but his pass rush plan is lacking. The fact that somebody listed at 6'2", 251 rushes to contact so much, primarily using the long arm, is a bit concerning. It should be his changeup, not his fastball. That's exactly what Corey and I have been talking about this entire time. The potential is absolutely sky high with Jalen Walker. But the pass rush plan just isn't there, man. It's just not there. And I do think it's partially because he has split time. And honestly, he's played more at linebacker than he has on the edge. So for me, pairing him with somebody like Trey Hendrickson, who is already a professional pass rusher, if you can get to the quarterback the way that he does with as little style as he has, I mean, the man doesn't wear gloves. He wears ugly sleeves that are really, really big.
Yeah,
the aesthetic is bad. And to be that good while looking that bad is incredibly impressive. And he does it because he is a technician. Learn a little bit from that. Learn how to win and use your athletic traits to your advantage as a pass rusher. Come up with a plan. And Jalen Walker could be a massive home run for the Bengals at 17 from a value perspective because that potential is so sky high.
Yeah, and we've had the conversation that we disagree on what we think that his position is at the next level as well. But guess what? The Bengals are going to cut Jermaine Pratt, who hilariously requested a trade. But I think that might be to save face a little bit, buddy. They're going to cut you. So there's a whole linebacker for them as well. So even if he does play linebacker or a mixture of both, a Sam and base situations and comes off the edge, you know, or whatever, I think that's a solid fit there as well. Moving on to number 18. This is one of a really fun that I found as we did this mock. Like, I was looking at it. I usually go safety Nick Emmanuel with the Seahawks because of the Kyle Hamilton thing in Baltimore with Mike McDonald. But I know they have Ernest Jones, which Ernest Jones is more of a Mike backer downhill, not afraid to displace in the A gap, B gap kind of linebacker, and isn't really a decent backpedaler. That's not part of his game where he thrives. So I think they also need a Will linebacker. And so for the Seattle Seahawks, I drafted 18th overall Alabama linebacker Jahad Campbell, who can also do a lot of fun things. He played over 100 snaps off the edge. He rushed the passer quite a bit. I don't think his hands are overly physical enough to do that at the NFL level. But what he can do from a coverage standpoint is what I have seen as the best in the class so far. What he can do about hitting his landmarks, knowing how to anticipate backside overs, backside digs, knowing how to drive on, like when to drive on receivers out of zone as looks as well. The ability to rotate up with tight ends up the seam. He's matched some slot receivers. The LSU game, he had a pass breakup in the end zone where he matched a slot receiver and made a play on the football. So I think what he can do from a coverage standpoint is phenomenal. I would not comp him to Roquan Smith, but I do think that Mike McDonald might like a linebacker who can do a little bit of everything like Roquan Smith did in Baltimore.
These next three picks are my favorite three picks in the entire draft. Like, it's not even close. These are the best three. At number 19, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select safety Nick Emmanuel from South Carolina. I'm pairing my second favorite safety evaluation of all time with my first favorite safety evaluation of all time. That's it. It's that easy. You have the 5'8" muscle hamster, ball hawk, and you have the 6'3", 230-pound, built like a modern linebacker, but with the hips of a slot defender, Nick Emmanuel, man. And it's not just the athletic ability for me. It's the intelligence that he has in coverage as a split safety guy. He's somebody who I think that the versatility of Antoine Winfield Jr. is what makes him special. Mm-hmm. He's a great center fielder. He's a great ball hawk. But his ability to come downhill to be a blitzer as well and defend the run, that's what makes Antoine Winfield Jr. special. They can literally just rotate up and down from single high against motion because both of these guys can do all of those things. The only thing we really haven't seen with Nick Emmanuel, because he played on the back end so much, is his ability to rush the passer. But with that athletic ability, I'm believing that as a blitzer, he would be pretty effective.
Yeah, for sure. And Todd Bowles always loves those guys who can step into the box, who can play a little bit in the slot. Mike Edwards, who's the Whitehead? What's his first name? It's not Jermaine. Jermaine Whitehead's a completely different player.
Jordan Whitehead.
Jordan Whitehead. Ed. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Jordan Whitehead, kind of the same thing there. Emin Worry is kind of a very juiced up super soldier serum version of those players. So I think that would be a lot of fun versatility wise for Todd Bowles. 20th to the Broncos. Sean Payton has been completely
very vocal
that they need a joker. They need somebody in their offense who can be a complete game changer. Ashton Jeanty is still on the board with the 20th pick right here. If you look at the running backs that the Broncos were trotting out last year, Javonte Williams is a free agent. Audric Estime had his ups and downs as a rookie. Not a lot of production out of that running back room this past season. So I think Ashton Jeanty could be that playmaker to take some pressure off of Bo Nix as well, all coming off of a good rookie season, more than good, a very plus positive rookie season. And so, you know, I think everybody wants to mock a tight end or a running back to the Broncos, and why break that mold right here? So we're going to go with Ashton Jeanty to the Broncos.
And I actually think this is a super realistic possibility. Mm-hmm. That he does end up falling this far with the class being as talented as it is. And with, I think when you look at it, not a ton of like dire running back needs before them. The Dallas Cowboys are obviously a popular target here, but other than that, yeah, like I really see the Bears likely getting Will Campbell. So like that's a bigger need. And so I think this is a really good spot for JT overall. And number 21, get the Steelers a wide receiver who's really, really, really talented, but isn't going to be a problem in the locker room or on social media or anywhere else.
Or and on that, the field.
Or on the field. And that is Ohio State wide receiver Emeka Egbuka, professional route runner. For the past 3 years, he has been a professional route runner. The only reason he didn't declare a year ago was because he was injured and did not have a great year because of the injury. He is just so smooth overall. He's so smooth. And then even this year, Ohio State handed him the ball a little bit. And when he was handed the ball, he looked like a different athlete than he does as a route runner. And even after the catch in the third level, when he had the ball behind the line of scrimmage, he was making guys miss. He was showing good vision. And so I have a little bit more hope that he can be not just a 1B, but like a legitimate one on a football team.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. That's one of my favorite fits in this entire class is for the Steelers. It's a very common one as well. 22 of the Chargers, back-to-back Buckeyes right here. It's a player that I have been vocal that I think can play left tackle at the NFL level. He played left guard his entire career up until halfway through his senior season when Joshua Simmons got hurt. Donovan Jackson kicked out the left tackle, and his playoff tape at left tackle is pretty darn good. However, I do think that guard is still a pretty decent fit for him. The left tackle in Los Angeles, Rashawn Slater, has not had a clean bill of health. So if you need to kick him out in a pinch to play left tackle, then that option is always there as well. But the interior of the offensive line for the Los Angeles Chargers and for Jim Harbaugh, who notoriously wants to play hard-nosed gap power football, I think drafting Donovan Jackson here, 22nd overall, plugging him in at left guard, plugging him in at right guard, bulking up an offensive line that already consists of Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt is the way to go here. Maybe run it back with J.K. Dobbins another year and see if the health issues were not a fluke. If they are a fluke, if you can do it again, I'd still think you still day two to draft running back too in a pretty decent class in the top six or seven names. So right here, Donovan Jackson at the Chargers.
The Packers are always, for me personally, a tough team to draft for because I always have a little Brian Mafi in the back of my head, and I'm going through all of the requirements and thresholds that the Green Bay Packers typically hold for players, and I think I found one that just really fits all of what they like, and we've seen defensive line mocked to them a bit, and I think Mykel Williams from Georgia falling this far with that length, with that athletic ability, I think that they would jump at the opportunity to try and develop him very much like they developed Rashawn Gary, somebody who from Michigan was very raw. And it took him some time at the NFL level. But when he's been healthy, he has been really good. Now, he is a bit thicker, built overall, a bit more just naturally powerful than Mykal Williams. But Williams, with those arms and his ability to stand up against contact and anchor against double teams at 265 pounds, it's all the ability in the world. The bend might not be there, but you don't have to be bendy to win at the NFL level if you can develop your hands and win through the chest.
Yep. Him and Lucas Van Ness can work on their ankles together. They can roll out their ankles together. There you go. So 24 to the Vikings. Right here, I'm going to address corner. The Vikings could do a lot of different things, but at the end of the day, I think corner is too important a position, and they were starting Stephon Gilmore, who is in the back half of further than the back half of his career. They got really good play out of Byron Murphy this year as well, but they have to get younger. They have to get more talented in that room as well. And here I'm going to give them Savon Revel, the corner out of ECU. 6'2". I think he weighed in like 180 something like that at the Shrine Bowl. Explosive, really good transitional burst, excellent ball skills. Can play as much quarters as you want him to, can play as much press bail as you want him to, which is what Brian Flores is going to ask him to do quite a bit. So from a scheme perspective, from a talent perspective, from a value perspective here at 24th overall, Savon Revel to the Vikings.
Yeah, I actually really like this fit overall for the Vikings. Number 25. The Houston Texans are just going to draft Tyler Booker. They're going to. They need a left guard. He is a hoss of a left guard. Kind of reinvented his body a little bit. I think that he is an absolute stud. I know you came in lower on him than I did, but I think he is a very talented player, and he is exactly what the Houston Texans need. Is there a bigger need in the draft than the Houston Texans?
Interior offensive linemen and guards.
Needing left guard.
I don't think so. They have a quarterback who needs to step up in the pocket. You have a quarterback who does everything you want your quarterback to do, and he can't do it consistently because he has nothing to step up into. Absolutely. I think this is the biggest need, obvious need of any team in the NFL. 26 Los Angeles Rams. I'm going to throw it back to a little bit.
I'm interested in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it back to a little bit last year where Sean McVay and the Rams were reportedly extremely interested in Brock Bowers to the point where they wanted to trade up for Brock Bowers. Obviously did not draft Brock Bowers. But could they use a tight end with some plus athleticism, some plus movability, like Michigan's Colson Loveland, and not get the same product? Like, he's nowhere near the same player. Brock Bowers is twice as thick and probably a good third more explosive than Colson Loveland is, but the catch radius is there. The ability for Sean McVay to scheme open another tall, moves pretty well for his size as well, receiver to pair with Puka Nacua, to pair with whoever else is playing in that wide receiver room next year. And at that point, at this point as well, we're talking the 26th pick. And yeah, I could go Matthew Golden or something like that, but and that could replace Cooper Kupp, right? But like at this point, let's just take the best pass catcher on the board for a team that needs pass catchers. That's Colson Loveland on the board right now. So going to go Colson Loveland to the Rams.
Yeah, and they will still next year most likely have Tyler Higbee to run the inline role. So
yeah,
more 12 personnel. Sean McVay loves to run the ball anyways. Mm-hmm. And he loves to have a guy like a Cooper Kupp or like somebody like Colson Loveland who can go in motion and block the end man on the line as, you know, split zone, as that sniffer in split zone looks. So he needs somebody to blow up defensive ends going 100 miles an hour. He's not going to survive Colson Loveland with his hand in the dirt.
No.
But he can survive on the move as an H-back, fullback type, as a blocker. So that's the best use for him. And then as a big slot, and he can even play out wide a little bit.
He played a lot of exhibition.
Yeah.
That frees up Puka to do some of that Cooper Kupp.
It does.
So
yeah,
I think it's a pretty good fit there.
The Ravens are drafting Nick Scorton, and Nick Scorton is going to just be an absolute all pro. Going to be an absolute all pro. I love his hands. I love his pass rush plan. Mm-hmm. I would love if he comes in at 260 and is looking like no longer like all team bad body. I would love if he tests well. He is 20 years old. They haven't developed their edge rushers the way that I would like to see. I was a huge fan of David Ojabo. Wasn't as big on Owe, but Owe is the guy who has kind of turned into a productive player for them. And Ojabo has struggled to remain healthy, even at the NFL level, and hasn't been super productive since. So getting another young guy in to try to develop who has huge potential, and I think overall is probably going to be a pretty decent run defender at the NFL level, if anything else, Nix Gordon, Texas A&M.
Love it. They've had a lot of turnover on the defensive staff, though. Yeah. And there used to be the days where, like, you could count on their, like, third edge rusher developing to the point where he gets a big second contract and starts somewhere else, like Za'Darius Smith or Matthew Judon. Like, those guys, like, were pretty role players for Baltimore, but very good ones to the point where they just went and got paid somewhere else.
Yep.
And so, yeah, the next Gordon pick here, I love that. The Lions need an edge rusher, but I'm looking at the board of edge rushers, and I don't really see one that would fit the body type of like Aiden Hutchinson, John Kaminsky, Za'Darius Smith. Like, these are big freaking dudes that they want playing edge. And so I don't think a guy like Mike Green is going to fit in Detroit.
Jordan Burch.
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to turn to their interior defensive line as well, where they also need defensive tackle help. And I'm going to draft them Derek Harmon. And at the beginning, I've talked about this, at the beginning of the cycle, I was pretty low on Derek Harmon. It's like, this guy is pretty schemed open by Jamari Caldwell. True. This guy is a passer specialist, kind of soft against the run. Not true. When I turned on his tape and saw how stout his upper half was, because, like, even if you look at pictures of him or you see him on tape, his upper half is, his body type is,
he's got a weird build.
He's got a weird build and like a very fluffy kind of build. So it was a complete shock to me when I saw him to be able to consistently lock out, have such gap control as a run defender as well. So I think he ultimately really fits what Detroit wants out of defensive tackles defensively to gap control. But at the end of the day, like, he's really pretty slippery with his hands too, as a pass rusher too. So he's not, so I think he's a pretty well-rounded defensive tackle. So the Lions take him here at 28.
Yeah, I think he's got really good flexibility, and I think that really helps him as a run defender. Number 29, I'm gonna like kind of just make this a running meme for the rest of my life, most likely. But Dan Quinn's drafting a versatile secondary member, like somebody who can play corner, somebody who can play safety, somebody who can play in the slot. And that's exactly what Texas cornerback / I believe is a safety. And listen, this is another conversation that we have to have. Like, is Cooper DeJean a corner? Like, is he really a corner in that defense playing in the slot for Vic Fangio, a cover six guy? Like, not really. He's more of a safety than he is a corner, or he's a slot guy. But then how much of a corner is that? Because he is very much responsible as a run defender as well in their defense. So there's a lot going on there, and that's exactly what Jahdae Barron can bring. Jahdae Barron can play in the back end. He is, I think, better playing with zone eyes, which is why he was so good at Texas at corner, because they played almost exclusively cover three, and his eyes are outstanding. So for me, I see the versatility of his game. First of all, knowing cover three, because Dan Quinn is a cover one and cover three guy.
Yep.
It's a perfect fit for me. Even though I'm a little bit lower on him overall, I would draft Xavier Watts 10 times out of 10. I think that they will prefer Jahdae Barron.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how much they'll consider offensive line, but they also, I mean, their corner depth is really bad.
Yes.
So yeah, between that, 30 in the Buffalo Bills, they continue to get production out of the weirdest, oldest defensive tackles. And it's like Jordan Phillips, not the Maryland 20-year-old, the veteran NFL Jordan Phillips, always tries to sign somewhere else, stinks, gets cut, comes back to Buffalo, plays pretty well in Buffalo. He tries to go somewhere else again in a bigger role, stinks, gets cut, comes back to Buffalo, but he's 32 years old now. And so I think you could upgrade the interior defensive line here as well. Ed Oliver needs a friend. Ed Oliver needs a friend. And so we're going to give him a beefy 3-tech, really good run defender who also can generate a little bit of pressure through the chest. He's not overly wiggle. There's not a lot of wiggle here as in terms of pass rush production. But Ohio State's Tyleek Williams to the Bills here at 30 to beef up the interior of their defensive line.
Yeah, it feels like thunder and lightning there for me.
Yeah,
between those two. The Chiefs.
Yeah, this one's
their entire draft might just be left tackles and right tackles and a right guard if they move on from Trey Smith. It's Josh Connerly Jr. from Oregon. Please, for the love of God, pick a very, very athletic left tackle. Please.
Well, they tried to do that last year, and it didn't work out too well.
Different.
Connerly is better. I understand.
And it's a different type of athleticism as well, because like with Kingsley, it was like dumb explosiveness. But with Connerly, it's like smooth,
reactive,
yes. And he's super flexible and like he looks like he could play basketball. You know what I mean? Like there's a different type of smooth looseness to a basketball player than there is other sports. And I think that Connerly at tackle has that. Now he will need to still work on the core strength, but
his body type is like, if you could build a body type, it's his. So
yes, absolutely. Yeah. So left tackle, Josh Connerly Jr. to the Chiefs.
Yeah. And the rumor is they're trying to kick Kingsley Suamatia in at right guard next year.
It's a good spot.
Prepare for the exit of Trey Smith. 32, last pick here. This is such an Eagles pick as well. I just brought up that I couldn't find a fit for Mike Green with the Lions, but I can absolutely find a fit for Mike Green with the Eagles, especially after whiffing on the Bryce Huff signing, where they just couldn't play him. He was unplayable in Vic Fangio's scheme. And Brandon Graham retiring. And of course, Brandon Graham is more of a 5-tech. He could play 3-tech. He's not a strict 7-9 rusher the way that like Nolan Smith and what they would, or Hassan Reddick was, or what they would be drafting Mike Green to do. So like, it's a different fit there as well than what Brandon Graham can do. But the overall emphasis being that they need to upgrade or add some depth at pass rusher. They just won a Super Bowl based off of their ability to get home with four. And so I think you could go with like a 3-tech here too, because Milton Williams is going to walk this offseason too, most likely. And Brandon Graham, as I just mentioned. But I think the board here with Mike Green to kind of do what they hoped that Bryce Huff would bring to them, to replace Hassan Reddick that isn't there, especially with Nolan Smith kind of developing as a full-time guy opposite of that wider DPR-ish role. Not strictly DPR, but DPR-ish role where you can just pin your ears back and kind of fly off the football. And that's something Mike Green can do. So Mike Green, 32nd overall to the Eagles.
That's it. That's all 32 picks. Yeah. Still feels weird that the season's over.
It does feel weird.
It does. But that means it is fully draft season. And we appreciate you guys being here. We hope that you guys enjoy your weekends. Mm-hmm. Have a little fun. Get out of the house if you can. Go on a walk. Walks are amazing. Mm-hmm. Corey, do you have anything to add before I let the people go?
2 weeks from today, first night of testing at the Combine.
2 weeks from today.
We're moving along. We are moving along.
Remember, guys, I love you. Goodbye.